September 11th. Many pastors have spoken on this issue, and yet they speak of comfort and materialism. But I haven't heard too many address the question of why did God allow this to happen to America? Here we are, 21 years later. And I was reminded, or it was brought to my attention, that we have a generation of people that were born after 9/11, 2001. I also was brought to my attention that some of the school or educational systems aren't even teaching the history of 9/11. If you put this in context, there were more people lost on 9/11 than there was at Pearl Harbor. So why is it so insignificant that it can't be taught? Why is it that we have a generation today that know very little, if anything at all, about 9/11, why it happened, how it happened, and where do we go from here? So this morning, I want to speak from a biblical perspective and from a Christian perspective. I want to answer these questions. Why did it happen? What can we do as Christians? How do you pray? And what about seeking justice and or retaliation? So why did it happen? Well, I think our scripture this morning talks about that and answers that question. Proverbs chapter 16, verse 7, and it reads, "When a man's way is pleasing to the Lord, he makes even his enemies live at peace with him." This is the word of God for the people of God. When a man's ways are pleasing to the Lord. That's a really powerful statement. And what is the result of that? He makes even the enemies live at peace. We all rallied together as a nation, and everyone was saying, "God bless America." But then I get to thinking, why should God bless America? We've murdered over 30 million babies, if for no other reason, through convenience. 60% of the teenagers in America today would have been taken out and stoned to death because of immorality. 50% of marriages in America end in divorce. And then look at the abuse and the molestation and the pornography and the promiscuity and the homosexuality and violence that persist in America today. So I ask again, why should God bless America? And how does all of these things, items that I just mentioned, how does that please God? And because it doesn't, we can't make enemies live at peace. In Malachi chapter 3, verse 5, God says to Israel, "I am coming to judge you." So why would God come to judge us? Maybe it's because we've committed 5 times the violent crimes of any other nation in the world. Did you know that? 5 times of any other nation of violent crimes. We have said yes to homosexuality. We all know what's going on in the churches today. Not just our denomination, but almost all of them. We have special days that are assigned to recognize it. Yeah. We have Gay Pride Day. We have this and we have that. And, you know, we have rainbow parades. Do you ever stop and think about that rainbow thing? You're one of the most beautiful signs that God has left for us. Is now destroyed because a segment of our community has decided to grasp it and use it for something that is against God's word. I speak for myself when I see a rainbow colors today, I don't think of the promise that God gave us. That's not my first thought. I have to work at being reminded. My first thought is gay pride. There are churches in our community that have hanging on the outside of their building or in on their signs the rainbow colors. You got me off on something now. We have said yes to immorality. And we have said yes to divorce and abortion and pornography and garbage on television. So many things that God hates have come to be normal in our society. The Bible says, whom the Lord loves, he chastens. If he doesn't chasten you, he doesn't love you. Oh boy. We've lost control of the fact that we do not have to love the sin in order to love the sinner. We can hate the sin and still embrace the sinner and invite them into our flock, into our family. We can do that. But we've lost sight of that in our society today. Why would God bless America? He has allowed an enemy to hit us in our own homeland. You see, if we don't see the problem, we don't identify the real enemy, we will rally our troops, approach it from a secular solution, and it will be the wrong solution or no solution at all. So what am I saying? We shouldn't rally the troops? No, that's not what I'm saying at all. What I'm saying is we must cry out to God. If we are going to stay one nation under God or in God, we trust we are going to identify with his name. We are going to have to live by his principles. And his principles is when we wander from him and we rebel against him and we turn our backs to him, we are in danger of that judgment that we talked about or that Malachi told the Israelites. We've gotten far away from our pilgrim heritage. We've gotten far away from our character in America. Satan has his throne perched in our great nation we call America. The terrorists call us the great Satan because we defile with sexual immorality through tolerance of things that are far from God. And if we speak out against these things, we are said to be intolerant. Where in the world did that come from? Is that the beginning, or is that the crutch, or is that the motivator that created the silent majority? Do you know who the silent majority is in our nation? I'm going to hurt your feelings. The silent majority is you and me. The silent majority is the Christian community. What do we do about these kind of things? What do we say about these things? What do we do to introduce God and His principles to our enemies? Once again, I reiterate, He makes even His enemies live at peace with Him. President Bush called for a day of mourning and prayer. But he didn't say anything about our sin. Abraham Lincoln said civil war is an abomination to God and called for a day of mourning in prayer. And if you read that prayer, he mentioned sin several times. And he called upon the nation to repent. Abraham Lincoln said that. Repent. If our president stood up and said to us, it is because of our sin, he would have been run out of office. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Yeah, for sure. So is there any hope? Perhaps the only hope I see is being in the Christian community in America. The Christian silent majority is our hope. What can we do as a Christian community? Well, I remind you of what Abraham's quest for God to spare Sodom and Gomorrah. Abraham asked God, if he found 50 righteous people, will he spare it? God said yes. Example of God's mercy. What about 45? Abraham said. God said yes. What about 10? God said yes. But what was the result? Not one righteous person in Sodom and Gomorrah was found, and God destroyed both of them cities. We have pastors and people crying out, take the sword of justice, while others say to be great comforters. What we should be doing is repenting. I'm calling on you as the remnant of God in America to prayer and fasting and pleading to God for the family and culture of this nation. If we can turn to God, there is hope for us. If we can't turn to God or don't turn to God, there is no hope. I reiterate to our example of Sodom and Gomorrah. They chose not to turn to God. And what happened to their hope? It didn't exist. What was the result? They were destroyed. But if we don't turn to God, I don't think that we have any hope. God brought many violent upheavals of nature to our forefront to get our attention and said, I am not pleased with what's going on in America today. 21 years later, he is still saying, I am not pleased with what's going on in America today. Where is the silent majority today? So the next question is, well, how do we pray? I'm calling on this church to be with me in prayer for our nation. And when you pray, you don't say, Lord, the homosexuals and the porno kings and the abusers and the violent people and the drug pens and the abortionists have messed this up. That's not what we say. You know why we don't say that? Because being the silent majority is the same as being part of them. I'm not saying we go out and do all these things. What I'm saying is there was an old, I remember my dad said years and years ago, I was in high school, and he says, you know, Gary, he says, you acquire the reputation of the people that you hang around with. It's called reputation by association. That's a little bit of what I'm saying here this morning. Because we allow this to exist, it is assumed by other nations that all of these things are okay with us. And we need to pray. And we need to stop being the silent majority and tell these other nations that we are not with what this is. We will not tolerate it. And how do I know that? How can I say that? Because God reminded us of that on September 11, 2001. Now you say, what are you talking about? God doesn't cause bad things to happen. I don't know. But I do know this. He allows them to happen. Look at the plagues of Egypt. He allowed all that to happen because somebody wasn't giving him their attention. They were not doing what God had commanded for them to do. It's the same thing with this disaffiliation. If we don't do anything to recognize, preach, announce, tell people, remind them of what the scripture says, and we are going to follow it, and that's why we are doing what we are doing, people will think that we embrace what is going on in our denomination today. There is nothing worth more than putting ourselves in a position to follow what God has told. I'm going to tell you something. The first time God mentioned homosexuality in the Bible was in Genesis chapter 2. Just shortly after he created us. This is not a New Testament. There I go off on something else again. My goodness. Okay, where are we? This terrible act has come, and it is proof that God is still concerned about this nation. Yeah. Yeah. God allowed 9/11 because he still loves us. Because he is concerned about a nation that was founded on him and his word. And hundreds of years later, he sees a nation that is strayed away from that foundation. And boom, I need your attention, America. You can say a Christian country can get angry. And yes, a Christian country must get angry. What is going to stop us from being the silent majority? It will be anger. What brings you to action on anything except anger? Now, I'm not talking the type of anger that gets violent and all of these nasty little deeds that God frowns on. I'm talking about anger based on how much we love God and His Word that moves us to action. You see, one day John the Baptist had a soldier come to him and ask what he must do because he wanted to be saved. And he wanted to get baptized. Now, this would have been a perfect time for John to say, resign your commission. Quit being a soldier. But do you know what John the Baptist told him? Don't use your position to shake down people for money. He didn't say anything about quitting soldiering. And he baptized and he proclaimed him a righteous and godly man. And then we have at the cross, the centurion in charge of the detail of the death of Jesus looked up at him and gave the greatest testimony of all times. And he looked up at Jesus hanging on the cross and he said, surely this man was the Son of God. I think God has the applause of heaven for the godly soldier. Now, when I say soldier, I'm not talking about the man dressed in army fatigues or olive drab or khaki or blue or whatever the colors are of our military today. I'm not speaking against them, not saying we shouldn't use them, but what I'm talking about here when I say godly soldiers are soldiers that go forth and stop being the silent majority and start preaching and talking and teaching the Word of God to those around us. And maybe someday we can prevent another 9/11. General Norman Schwarzkopf had a Bible in his tent. Did you know that? Everywhere he went, and he has a tremendous biography. He took a Bible with him. But I need to say this, that he didn't take that Bible with him just for decoration. Norman Schwarzkopf read it every single day. So I say this, it's time to stand. It's time for free men to stand and be free men and repent. Why has this happened to America? I believe God is trying to get our attention. He is spanking us, but good. This is not a spanking with the palm of your hand. This is a spanking with a paint paddle. What can we do as a Christian community? We can cry out to God. Should we seek justice and retaliation? It would be ungodly not to stop a madman from killing innocent people. I don't think that's what God wants us to do. If we really hurt for our nation, it's time to wake up in America. We must pray, we must fast, we must cry to God, and we must support our nation's military as we seek justice and all of God's people said. Thank you.